Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio with Alejandro Rojas. Open Minds Radio is your UFO news authority, presenting evidence and the latest news regarding the UFO phenomenon. Here's your host, Alejandro Rojas.
Hey, that's me, Alejandro. We are back with Open Minds Radio. We took last week off. Not completely. It's not like we took it off and we were just sitting around doing nothing. We were extremely busy. Well, actually, we were sitting around doing nothing exactly a week ago. But it was a well-deserved break because the 5 days prior to that, we were extremely busy putting on the UFO Congress, which was a great success. Yay! We actually had more people than the Congress has ever had before. Estimates are somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000, although it felt like perhaps there were 1.2 million people there, just because everything was so busy and so packed, and we were so busy trying to make everybody so happy, and I think people were really happy. We've gotten a lot of good feedback that we had a lot of great speakers, and for those of you who could not make it, of course, we have the DVDs. And they are a low price of $15. They're much lower than they've been in the past. So you can get a whole set of everything. Of course, that's like 25, 23 DVDs, something like that, for $300. Or you can just get your favorite speakers, whatever you like. We've got a bunch of stuff up on YouTube. I know Richard Dolan has a clip of his talk up right now, too, because everybody had so much fun and they were so excited to share some of the great things that went on. One of the great things that happened was we got to meet some more listeners. So we got to meet some more of you all, and that was a lot of fun. Thank you all who were able to make it. And for those of you who couldn't make it but really wanted to, you know, thanks for being there in spirit, because I know you were kind of rooting us on from home, like watching football or something. Go, 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 Dolan, go. Yeah, touchdown. So it was a lot of fun, and we've got a speaker from the conference, Carol Rosin, and she's been really excited. She's coming up here in a minute, and we'll talk about the conference a bit there. She'll talk about what she does, and I'm sure she's, because she's still really hyped up when I talked to her today about how great the conference was. So people really loved it, and that's wonderful. We're so excited and happy about that. And to tell you a little bit more about Carol, she's an award-winning educator, author, space and missile defense consultant, and was the first woman corporate manager of an aerospace company, and that was with Fairchild Industries, where among her other responsibilities, she was also the spokesperson for the father of modern rocketry, Dr. Werner von Braun. He was actually a V-2 German scientist who came over with Project Paperclip to start up our missile and rocket programs. My lips were kind of sticking together for some reason. So he came and, you know, started up the whole space race for us. But he revealed information to her about some conspiracies and about the existence of ETs and UFOs. So she's going to tell us about that, including her work, which has gone on. This is like the first UFO conference she's ever been at, because she lives and works in the aerospace industry. And so, of course, people in that industry shy away from this stuff. But she was part of the Disclosure Project in 2001 with Dr. Greer at the Washington Press Club in order to talk about what Werner von Braun had told her. And so we will let her tell about that. So she's testified before both the House and the Senate. She's traveled worldwide to consult with companies, organizations, governments, the intelligence community, candidates, leaders, and grassroots people. She's very much an advocate for peace in space, much like Paul Hellyer, who we had on the show before and who was one of our speakers at the conference. And he had an excellent and inspiring talk as well. So it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of excitement at the Congress, and we are happy that we're not running around like crazy people and getting to relax. And it's kind of funny because, you know, behind the scenes, and maybe Jason will share his experiences too, You don't know. You're, you know, especially literally when you're behind the curtain, like Jason was running our AV, you know, and you're pulling the levers and making everything happen. You hope it looks cool and everything's going on the other side. But since you're not there and you're not getting to experience it from a viewer, you're just making sure everything works and works well. You're just crossing your fingers that it's coming across great. And luckily, the response has been really good. And luckily, we were able to get all of our fires put out in the nick of time before, you know, people were able to see them or at least fix them quickly enough while the presentations were going on. And believe me, we had fires every day, and people don't even know that, which is wonderful. That's the goal. So people do not realize that all hell is breaking loose behind the black veils. So it went great, very exciting. And one of the things that we did, of course, we always talk about UFO news. We post that on our website on a regular basis, and there's so much of it that we kind of compiled as much as we could into an 11, 12-minute video that we showed at the beginning of the conference and that we played and put that on YouTube. And so that was kind of cool just to see all of this news compacted into 11 minutes to see the highlights of what's gone on throughout the year, although we didn't get all of it because, as you all know, there's tons of news happening on a weekly basis, and we are always fortunate to have our Open Minds Radio news correspondent, Jason McClellan, here to share that news with us. And guess what? He's here yet again today because he's a dedicated individual. Hello and welcome, Jason.
Hi, Alejandro. Thank you. Yes, I am here. I am dedicated, and I'm excited.
Nice.
I missed the show last week. It was
kind
of traumatic not having the show last week. But
yeah, for a lot of listeners, too.
Yeah. But we're back this week. I'm excited. So how was your experience at the Congress this year?
Yeah, just that. People ask you, are you having fun? Are you having fun? And it's like, well, I haven't really thought of that because I haven't had time to think. I'm just running. There were little periods of fun in there, but just busy. And I know you were running.
Blur.
Yep. Yeah. Our feet were just worn raw, literally. And Maureen, of course, you guys know Maureen. She was running around like a crazy person just like us. And
she's crazy anyway. But
did you have fun?
I did have fun. Like I said, it was a blur, and it all sort of went by in a flash. But
right.
We were busting our booties there, making things happen, and I think everything happened very well. You know, we were pulling the levers behind the curtain and hoping people didn't notice the things that come up with any conference. Yeah. But I think
when you'd pull a lever and nothing happened, and you had to get out the crank and crank it, or
more times than not, you just give it a kick.
Yeah.
Let's get into the news. This is your Open Minds News Brief for Monday, March 7th, 2011. And we'll get into this more with our guest today. But during her presentation last week at the International UFO Congress, aerospace consultant Dr. Carol Rosen announced a proposed treaty to keep weapons out of space. She developed this proposed treaty with her colleagues, including astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell. Its title is the Outer Space Security and Development Treaty of 2011, and its aim is to ban space-based weaponry. And, Alejandro, I think it's interesting, and, you know, this seems to be the appropriate time to be addressing this topic and looking into this issue and trying to do something about it to prevent space-based weapons. With just last week, on Friday, the Air Force launched their second X-37B unmanned spacecraft, and it's currently in orbit with its secret payload.
Yeah.
Who knows what that thing's up to?
Well, and interesting enough, and, you know, Carol and her her colleagues had started working on this treaty prior to these news items coming out, but all of a sudden the news, it was full of defense people talking about the need to weaponize space, and we need to control space, and we need to make it a weapons platform and get our weapons satellites up there and make sure that we don't allow anybody to have the capability to attack us from space. whereas we have that ability and no one else does. I mean, a lot of some news coming out of the Pentagon around this. So, yeah, the timing is just right. And we'll talk to Carol about what effect she feels that it's having, because hopefully it does start some communication around this sort of thing in the aerospace industry.
That'd be excellent, and I'm really excited to hear what she has to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that's happening not only in the U.S. now, but in our own backyard of Arizona. This is something we've talked about several times on this show, and it's usually happened in the U.K. But students in the Phoenix metropolitan area are competing in a contest called Dear Aliens, in which the students each write an essay answering the following questions. What would you say to extraterrestrials if Earthlings are contacted from outer space? If you had to speak for humanity, what would you say? The writing contest was launched by Lucy Hawking, daughter of astrophysicist Stephen Hawking. According to the Arizona Republic, Lucy Hawking is the writer-in-residence for ASU's Origins Project, exploring the origins of the human race. Hawking has pointed out that the purpose of the contest is to spark the imagination of students. The extraterrestrial theme has also been used by several schools in the UK as a topic for creative writing exercises. The essay contest is open to students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and the deadline for entry is April 1st. The winner of the contest will have their message broadcast into space via radio signals.
Cool. So I hope they're careful what they say and they don't make anybody upset.
It's hard to please everyone or not offend anyone.
And you would think that, you know, it's just like us. If a monkey was able to write us a note, we would understand if it was vulgar, and we wouldn't get upset. You know, you would brace yourself that, come on, he's a monkey. If he's talking about, hi, I want to throw my poop at you, you'd be like, oh, I'm not going to get offended by that, you know? Whereas if you wrote me a note like that, I would get really mad at you.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a whole world of possibilities for misinterpretation here.
Mm-hmm.
I like the... I don't necessarily like it. It was just, there was nothing on TV this weekend, and I was flipping through the channels, and Scary Movie 3 was on, I believe,
uh-huh.
And that's the one that has the aliens from Roswell. And
I haven't seen it.
Leslie Nielsen, the president, meets the aliens, and they're talking to the people. The aliens start choking people, and they're all, why were you choking us? They're all, oh, that's how we say hello.
Yeah.
All, oh, that's interesting. How do you say goodbye? And goodbye is a nice kick in the crotch.
Oh, ouch.
But, you know, we have our cultural and just our lots of differences here on our own planet. It's hard to imagine what differences are like on other planets.
Yeah. Well, and I want to update people, too, real quick, that the chat is now working in Blog Talk. If you're listening on Blog Talk, I started that up late, and I apologize to the listeners who wanted to chat, and I apologize to you, Jason, for taking up your news time for this announcement.
Inexcusable. We'll discuss it later.
You're going to tell me goodbye?
Oh, yeah.
In alien language?
Oh, yes. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
Good work, Alejandro. Here's an interesting story. Air traffic controllers at an airport in Siberia, Russia, detected a UFO on radar and captured video of their radar screen to prove it. Controllers estimated the speed of the unknown object to be 6,000 miles per hour and flying at an altitude of 64,895 feet above sea level, according to the Sun. Nick Pope, who investigated UFOs for Britain's Ministry of Defense, told The Sun, given that the UFOs tracked on radar, we've got some hard evidence that something extraordinary happened. Even more extraordinary is the claim by air traffic controllers that a female-sounding alien spoke to them in a cat-like language when they tried to communicate with the unknown object. According to The Sun, one of the controllers admitted, I kept hearing a female voice, as if a woman was saying, all the time. Experts say the UFO could have been a secret missile test, but others have suggested the video is fake. The date of the incident is unknown, but some suggest the incident may have taken place back in 2009.
Hmm. You meowing right there was a little scary, but it was a good meow. But how do they know? I mean, they could have been hearing some strange interference.
Absolutely. I'm hearing interference in my headphones right now.
Yeah.
And that could be an alien cat meowing at me, but...
It's funny that you just meowed and we're talking about the cats, and somebody just logged into our chat with the name Critterfur.
Yes, I've had lots of practice meowing because I grew up with lots of cats. Now I have dogs, so I can bark well, too. But
yeah. Save that for the next show.
I'll try to pull that out sometime.
Yeah.
But this was the perfect opportunity to meow on the air.
Good job.
But it is an odd story. The video was kind of weird.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it's fake, but who knows?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of press, that's for sure.
And again, I think this story was covered a while ago, but it was brought up recently by The Sun, and then everybody picked it up again.
Yeah. So.
And it got a recent comment from Nick Pope, too. So
yeah.
That is why we are mentioning it on our show.
Yep.
Virgin Galactic, a company leading the space tourism charge, has discovered a demand for their services from passengers other than their targeted audience of tourists. Scientists from Southwest Research Institute have signed a deal with Virgin Galactic that will allow them to conduct experiments in suborbital space. The deal allows scientists from Southwest Research to use Virgin Galactic's Spaceship 2 as a laboratory in space, where they plan to conduct experiments in weightlessness, biology, astronomy, and climate research. Space.com quotes Virgin Galactic CEO George Whitesides as saying, "Science flights will be an important growth area for the company in years to come, building on the strong commercial success already demonstrated by deposits received from over 400 individuals for Virgin Space Experience." Sorry, I got tripped up because he said from over 400, and that's a pet peeve of mine. Over is inappropriate. It's more than.
Right.
Yes, thank you. And 400 people, Alejandro. We talked about we talk about them a lot, almost weekly. And that's 400 people who have signed up on this waiting list. They haven't started their commercial flights yet. They have 400 people who have paid the deposit of $200,000. $80 million they're sitting on right now.
Yeah. I think this is interesting, and it's definitely going to be an Obama legacy. But and I wonder behind the scenes how bilateral this is. If the hawks and the more conservatives don't like this whole privatization of space type of thing, although they're usually into privatization, so maybe they do. But I mean, pretty soon. I mean, it sounds like within the next couple of years, we're going to have a strong presence of these private companies in space. And I think once you start that, it can't stop unless. Someone was predicting recently that if there is some sort of tragedy, then that could really put the brakes on the whole thing. But
it could, but I think you're right. I think we're going to have an explosion of, I'll say, public knowledge of space,
mm-hmm.
finally figuring out things that have been sitting out there all along. But now it's so much more accessible to people. You know, with the way things have been, you'll have one scientist who will maybe be able to hitch a ride on the space shuttle here or have to hitch a ride on some Russian mission.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one here and there. Now these actual science companies
right.
will be able to send their own teams into space by hitching a ride on any one of these commercial flights.
Yeah, and they are going to be sending people to the space station.
Right.
I think they're even talking Bigelow having a section of the space station.
You're absolutely right.
Amazing.
A video of a UFO was shown on a Brazilian TV station last week. The video shows a blurry disc-shaped UFO hovering in the clouds. There was a bright flash, then the object disappears. The video was given to the TV station by a couple of motorists who saw the object as they were driving and stopped to capture the UFO on video. According to the Telegraph, the footage was analyzed by a video editing expert who believes the video to be a hoax. I don't know about that. I don't know how much a video editing expert would know about picking that out.
That's always hard, unless they give you details. Sometimes they can give you a detail and why they know. But in my experience, a video, especially CG experts, they always believe everything is hoax because they think they can create anything that we see.
That's true, and I love to point that out. That it's common sense, but it needs to be pointed out. Just because you can recreate what you see on a video, it doesn't mean that what's on the video is not authentic.
Yeah, so like all of those people who get mad about people who believe in Billy Meyer, no one to date has recreated the Billy Meyer pictures not using Photoshop. Do that. That's my challenge to you listeners that are anti-Meyer.
That'd be excellent. You should come up with some sort of contest.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Free.
But the video was pretty cool, and one of the points that this analyst, this video editor, pointed out that led him to believe the video was a fake was that in the videos the people are filming, they pulled over the side of the road and they're filming this thing, and a truck drives by in front of the camera, and this person said, if you watch the UFO, you can't really see it, but as the truck drives by, the UFO is in a different position.
Hmm.
Now, who's to say the UFO didn't move? Mm-hmm. It certainly could have.
Yeah.
And who's also to say the people didn't move when the truck went by?
My gut instinct on this one was that it looked a little weird, but it's definitely a very interesting video. It made the rounds, too. A lot of other places picked it up.
The object in the clouds didn't seem that bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was the flash at the end and then the sort of sparks falling to the ground or whatever happened at the end. But it is a cool video.
Yeah. So.
And the UK's Ministry of Defense released another batch of UFO files last Thursday. The approximately 8,500 pages are primarily files from the periods of 1997 to 2005. And like previously released files, they contain eyewitness descriptions, photographs, and drawings of UFOs. One interesting account detailed in the released files is an incident from 2003 where witnesses reported seeing 20 to 30 UFOs zigzagging over the southeast London suburb of Bromley. One family even filmed the objects. The files related to this case show that a policeman who was sent to investigate confirmed the sightings and stated objects were moving faster than any man-made aircraft. All of the released UFO files can be viewed at the UK's National Archives website.
Mm-hmm. Go down those right now, people, because the UK is different from the US. They copyright all of their government files and sell them. So you can't put them on your website for free, not like government, US government stuff. And they only make them free to download for a month, and then they start to charge you. So go download the UK files now. You can go to our website, put UK files, and you'll be able to find the download link. Go do that immediately. We've downloaded all of those, and really we've been too busy to go through them and write some stories like we usually do with these, but we'll get to that. But there are already quite a few stories out there, one of them, too, showing that they did destroy UFO files without explanation, including some Rendlesham files.
That's
and
right.
Others.
That's right.
Essentially what other people are saying, which is valid, that it shows a cover-up.
Yep. So, yeah, I've only been able to see a sampling of what's in these files, and I hope we get a chance to look through more.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely glad we have them all saved now, and I encourage everybody else to do it too.
Yep, I download them, save them in a couple places because they're some incredible stories, just like we had talked about, I wrote about the UK files and our magazine. Even though the UK used these files to say, look, we're giving you all our files. There's nothing there. Don't worry about it. It's not a national defense issue. Whereas the files themselves tell a completely different story that, we have 20 to 30 objects in the sky at one time zigging around, or these pilots and these. And the last group was in the 90s, an incident where these pilots had to swerve out of the way of some giant Delta-shaped black triangle UFO that flew at him. Or, there's certainly things going on.
Stuff with Winston Churchill. There's some fascinating stuff in there.
Yeah.
So. And I want to get to this last story, and one of our listeners in the UK wanted to make sure that we mentioned this story today, too. Big news from today is a NASA scientist believes he has evidence that supports the notion of life existing outside our planet. In the March 2011 Journal of Cosmology, Richard Hoover explains that rare meteorites on Earth contain what appear to be small fossils of extraterrestrial life. Hoover drew this conclusion based on the lack of nitrogen found in the remains, something necessary for life on Earth. As the Huffington Post points out, Hoover's claim supports the idea known as panspermia, which suggests space rocks spread life to different planets. While Hoover's findings have yet to be validated, 100 scientists have been invited to review and critique his research.
Yep. And I think what happens here, because there's people who still debate the one that happened in the late 90s where Clinton had the famous quote where he said, oh, we may have extraterrestrial evidence of extraterrestrial life, the quote they used in the movie Contact.
Was that the Alaska one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's people still debating that, because the scientists who discovered that still feel that those were bacteria and that meteor, I think they thought it was from Mars. And in this case, he's able to demonstrate this meteorite is not from Earth, and it has signs of fossilized bacteria. But the problem is, just like I think with what we do, the bar is set really high for these guys. So it's not like it's a thing where you have evidence that would normally be accepted. You have to have some extremely strong, undeniable evidence. So the bar is a little higher for these guys. So it's harder for them to prove that what they're seeing is what they're saying, even though it does appear to be just that.
And I will mention this. There was another news source, and I want to say that it's more likely than, or more times than not, a sort of unreliable news source. So take it for what it's worth. I haven't verified this yet, but there was at least one news source today saying that NASA was distancing itself from this claim and publicly stating that they don't believe the claims that Hoover is making.
Yeah.
But I don't know if NASA's actually said that or not. Mm-hmm. That was just one source.
Well, I know there are some scientists kind of disputing it. That happens
right.
With every scientific
discovery. And apparently
discovery.
This isn't the first time that Hoover's, you know, stated this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because this is his job. And so hopefully this time he's found the proverbial smoking gun. But what that means, I think a discovery as simple as this, which is going to happen, it's a matter of time before we find even just simple bacterial life on other planets. I just wonder what that's going to do to the public mindset. I think that, and not that people are going to freak out and jump out of windows and run in the wild in the streets, but at least I think it will make people start to think. And I think it'll really open people up to the idea that, you know, if our nearest neighbors, if meteorites that could be landing on our planet have life on them or evidence of life elsewhere, that just the odds of intelligent civilizations is just much, much higher.
And, you know, there are plenty of people who believe that this could all be intentional, that the powers that be could be taking baby steps,
leaking
the
information,
spoon feeding us,
yeah,
slowly getting us ready.
Well, and I think that even if it's not our government, it could be the guys upstairs also just slowly giving us evidence. That could be the case, which isn't a bad thing. I'm a very patient person. If it comes out in tiny little steps, that's fine.
I think, yeah, whatever makes
people,
it easier for people.
Yep.
I know you and I are ready. Right?
Yeah.
But some aren't. So.
Yeah. Maureen,
we'll have to. Yeah, she needs to be.
She's ready.
Yeah. Alejandro, that is it for the news for today, my friend.
All right.
Be sure to check out these stories and more at openminds.tv, your source for UFO-related news. I'm Jason McClellan, your Open Minds news correspondent, and you've been briefed. Back to you, Alejandro.
Thank you, Jason. So I want to get to a couple things that are on our website before we bring Carol on, although I'm very excited to talk to Carol, and I know she's got a lot of energy, so she's going to be – we're going to cruise through this. But we also posted a couple other stories on our site. This is kind of cool, and we'll have him on. Maybe I'll see if he's available the week after next. But Chuck Zukowski, who we've had on the show before, talking about cattle mutilations and other things, he's got the website UFONut.com. He was terminated as a reserve deputy sheriff's officer in the Colorado Springs area because of his paranormal investigations. And they blatantly said that. So the details behind that were that they felt, you know, especially on this one case regarding a cattle mutilation, that Chuck had a dissenting view as to what their official report was. Of course, all they had was a couple officers go out there, take a quick look, take a couple pictures, went back and said it was predators. But the owner of the animal disagreed, and when Chuck took a look, so did he. And I know Chuck, you know, he'll call it a mutilation or a predator if it's a predator, but you know, these ranchers where these mutilations have been happening in Colorado for decades, they know a regular kill. In fact, these ranchers that Chuck has been dealing with haven't had, for the most part, mutilation experiences, nor did they necessarily even believe in mutilations, or at least anomalous, mysterious mutilations prior to having this happen to their own animals. So, you know, this was a shock to them, and what they're just trying to do is determine the cause of death, because, of course, these animals are very expensive, and this is their careers, you know, as ranchers. So it's a big deal for them, and they were not satisfied with the police response, and so they asked Chuck for some help, and he got fired over that. So very interesting. You can read that story that some media locally in Colorado has picked it up as well. And I think that's it's an interesting thing, and it's a little bit scary, because what if this happens in other areas? There's a lot of police officers who have or are UFO investigators. And, you know, this kind of sets a scary precedent that if police officers feel that they disagree with, you know, the conclusions that investigators in their departments have made, if they'll get fired for disagreeing, because, of course, often people will say these are prosaic things when they're indeed not. So I think that was very interesting. Also, some of the stuff that we conference stuff that we posted, we had a ton of media, big media response for the Congress. And so we posted all of the just a bunch, dozens of links to the media that we received, so you can kind of see how the media treated it. And I would say at least 75% of the media was very serious about it, but you did have, you know, the 25% going for the giggle factor and focusing on the real kind of outlandish stuff. But that happens. At least it's 75% good, whereas, you know, there was a time where almost all the media was going for the giggle factor on this. Also, we have the video up on Leslie Keene's award. She won Researcher of the Year at the Congress, and our video producer, Tom Ruffin, made a great video to highlight her work and her history, and so we have that up as well. And like I said, we have that UFO Year in Review up, and we will have more information on the movies that won the EBE Awards at the Film Festival up this week and some clips of those. So we're really happy. Some great movies won. The Day After Disclosure, some of you have seen because it's free online, won The People's Choice. A movie called The Hidden Hand won the Best Feature Film. And then an Italian film, The Enigma of the Flying Spheres, won the Short Film. And so that's really exciting for all of those. And it's an international congress, so it's great when we have international winners. And The Day After Disclosure is actually some people from Norway. So that was a lot of fun and very exciting. One of the highlights of the conference was Carol Rosen. She was one of the great speakers and just a wonderful person to hang out with. And Maureen said she was definitely one of her favorite people. And now we are lucky enough to have Carol on the show with us tonight. Hello.
Hello, Alejandro. It's wonderful to be here with you. In fact, I wish I was standing right next to you, because I think Open Minds and you are about the best thing that's happened to this issue.
Well, thank you so much. That is very, very kind of you to say, and we certainly try very hard. So I'm glad that people are appreciating our work.
Oh, big time. In fact, I've gotten a few thousand emails since your event. I mean, it's been an astonishing reaction to this treaty that I presented there. But really, a lot of what I heard was just what a first-class event that was, and people like come out of the military-industrial complex. I'm an educator from the beginning. I mean, a sixth-grade school teacher, I've just evolved in an amazing process to get to where we are right now talking on the phone. But the people like me would normally, at least I never have participated in this. I have even read a UFO book in my entire life, even though I have a collection because I founded a Space and Defense Institute back in 82-83. But when Paula Harris, actually, your wonderful advisor, and I know she just came out with her newest book that I hear is getting rave reviews, Paula talked me into coming and said, you know, these are wonderful people. There's integrity here. and the truth is starting to come out. And that is what I'm about. And just to be able to be with people who are not part of, I heard the end of what you were saying about the giggle factor, who are not part of that. And I understand it, but there's another part of it for people like me that come out of the aerospace companies. I came out of the revolving door game, actually, of the military industrial lab, university, NASA, intelligence, government complex. And the ridicule factor is what gets to me a lot. I mean, it hurts, you know. So I was so appreciative of the respect that all of your Open Minds people were giving to all of these incredible speakers. I mean, what a treat that was to be there with all of them.
Yeah, it's surprising to me that these journalists would be so insensitive to the hard work that a lot of credible people have put into this, let alone the incredible and emotional experiences people have had around UFOs or even extraterrestrial experiences, and it'd be so insensitive to make fun of it, because it does hurt people, like you said.
Yes, it really does. And my husband and I have really suffered for my truth-telling and just for being who I am, where I've been, which I've evolved into not by intention. It's kind of been a rolling process for me. I just kept moving into different circles. But we have been robbed of everything we own. I've been lied to, lied about. Both of us have. And we've been threatened, blackmailed. And I've even been physically attacked and ended up in the hospital really near death in another country. And it was an attempt to shut me up from my beginning to go public about this ET issue and my experience. I went now public big time at your event that I've actually visited. And I had a lot of advisors say, don't do it. They're going to even ridicule you more. But mostly what I get is, you know, I get slammed for my association with Wernher von Braun, like he was a big Nazi killer or something. And, of course, he worked under Hitler, and he did whatever he did in his job. But, my God, the man actually planned the escape to get the other scientists out of there, and they all know that. But there are people, what I think the answer to the question that you're posing is, or the implication that I get out of myself, is that there are literally paid agents to do this. And I know I was offered money years ago to work in intelligence and to work on the SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, space-based weapon system, to get me off the street. And I mean megabucks, millions of dollars. And I was actually told, this is proof, that nobody would be able to find out where that money comes from. I guess they have ways of manipulating it.
Wow.
Maybe they give it to you in cash. I don't know. But I didn't do it, because I knew that the hold that would have on me, if not the danger later on. And you see now what's happening to whistleblowers. I mean, you know, you could be accused of treason for telling the truth. It's very difficult to talk on the phone. It's difficult to write what you really want to say to people. And in your event, I even felt like I was holding back some, and I had some more to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to see what the reaction would be. And it was just as I thought. A couple of people that I know are involved and a couple that I suspect came out with those same old negative comments. It's as though they have nothing else better to do. And if they're not paid, then they're ignorant, or they're trying to sell their articles or books or tapes or be somebody or think that they're being somebody important. I think it's an ego thing. I mean, we are an ego-based species. So
right.
are the ETs, from what they tell me. But ours is a very low level of consciousness of it.
Well,
so
you did.
I think they're from paid to people who are just plain basically egomaniacs, selfish,
yep.
self-vested interests.
Well, and to talk about how well you were received, you were received very well. In fact, I don't think there is one person sitting at the end. You had a standing ovation with the entire room up on their feet clapping for you.
Thank you. I was blown away by that because when I went up on your platform, my notes had disappeared, and I had worked on them for hours, actually days, to condense them down to be able to speak for an hour and 15
right.
minutes. And when they were not there, I just kind of went for it and let it flow. But I was so grateful is the word for it. I couldn't believe the reaction that I got, and it's been even better since I got home. I mean, I suddenly got three Facebook pages up. You know, I didn't expect, because I don't even know how to work Facebook yet. And I wasn't planning on doing that kind of public presentation to begin with. I wanted to present a treaty and then pass the torch, because after doing this, I did it with a full staff for a while with an institute, and we had a three-story building. And then I tried doing different projects with different groups and by myself. And this issue that you've been presenting now in such an incredibly sound, balanced way has been so distorted and with so much disinformation out there that I just wanted to present a piece of my truth. And then the treaty that has been worked on by these incredible men, Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man on the moon, Scott Jones, who's worked in Dr. Jones' intelligence, Navy, very high level. He was the senior ranking advisor to Senator Claiborne Pell, the senior ranking senator. And Abe Krieger, who was the Boeing executive involved in everything from Russian relations to space technology to the SDI itself for 37 years. I mean, he's a major guy. And Commander Will Miller, who's been an advisor to everybody from Dr. Stephen Greer Disclosure Project to Leslie Kane to me and many others. He's an amazing retired commander with an enormous amount of knowledge about this issue. So these people, we got together and drafted a treaty, and it took us a long time. And it is excellent. What I'm hoping is, because of that reaction you mentioned, that people will, as they settle in back home, get back to their normal lives, if there is such a thing on this issue. I hope that people will take that treaty and just make copies of it, distribute it everywhere they can in all their social groups and religious groups, schools, wherever they are, their work colleagues, neighbors, families, and most important of all, that they will take it, make copies of it, and give it to presidents of countries. Just have it flowing, faxing, emailing, into their offices so that they start to pay attention to it. And, of course, I know some high-level people will work on it behind the scenes, because all we need is 9 presidents of countries to make 3D law.
Great.
So I'm thrilled with the reaction, and thank you for that.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you for choosing us to be a platform for this. And Jason and I talked about the treaty earlier and how exciting it is, and some of the news that's been going on. I want to get into that, but I was thinking it might be good right now to kind of go historically through how you got to know Wernher von Braun and what he told you, and then the Disclosure Project, to kind of remind people, because most listeners have seen the Disclosure Project and all of that, but to remind listeners who you are, and then to also kind of get into that interesting chapter of your life that brought you into this, and then we'll talk in detail about that treaty. So,
thank you.
And first, I guess, how was it that you became the spokesperson for Wernher von Braun?
This is almost a fluke in my life, because I was teaching sixth grade. I had my own little private clinic to work with problem children. I wanted to be a child psychologist. And I had was sitting with a lot of very low socioeconomic children, very poor, in a bad neighborhood, a lot of negative things happening that you can imagine, from drugs to weapons to whatever. And we were in a flood area. Besides that, every time it rained, the whole school would flood. And I wrote a Spaceship Earth teaching unit with the students where we pretended to be living and working in outer space, set up our classroom like a space habitat, and every subject area was in different learning centers. I still do this with teachers periodically, to set up their classrooms like this, because it's a great way to learn every subject, because my students just said they wanted to get out of this world. They were fed up, and they didn't feel like they had any future. So this article hit the press that said students studying on Spaceship Earth. It didn't say it was a classroom, and people were writing to Fairchild Industries, who were promoting that they were launching the first biggest educational satellite, the HS-6. And I was called in to just visit them. I didn't know this was a job offer. In fact, I thought it would be a great field trip. I'd only been in a beer factory and a chocolate bar company before that with the kids. And so I went up, did the interview, and they invited me in to meet, as a gift, Wernher von Braun. And what an amazing meeting. It was supposed to be 5 or 10 minutes. It lasted for almost 3 hours. I think it was
wow.
2.5 hours. Yeah. And he was dying of cancer, and he kept shooing everybody out of the room so that he could keep talking to me. And he thought that it would be, I had an aptitude for space. I mean, I set up my classroom like a space habitat. You had to be decontaminated at the door when you walked in because you were a UFO. So they had a hairdryer decontaminating. It was really crazy. And he thought that was just fabulous. He loved the creativity of it. And he said, look, you will come to Fairchild. You will be here in 3 weeks. That was kind of how he put it to me. And he said he was dying of cancer and that I wasn't to listen to the death sentence, which was weeks away, because he promised me that he would live as long as it took to teach me what the real game was that was going on. And the whole time he was scribbling on a piece of paper the word humor. And then he handed it to me at the end, and it said, he said, and you need to keep that sense of humor because what you're about to do is so serious. And I had no idea at that time he was talking about. I was a little woman in a, you know, mini skirts. I mean, I had no idea. And the next thing I knew, I was in Fairchild, and I was taking the picture of the A-10 bomber airplane down to put a scene of nature on the wall, and I asked for a couch for my office. I was the only woman executive, so they just kept giving me things. They had never had a woman eat in the executive dining room, actually. In fact, they were horrified when I wanted to bring my secretary to lunch.
Wow.
So it was a real, yeah. It was the days of EEOC. They had to hire at equal opportunity a woman, and I guess Von Braun was the biggest influence in it, and he just kind of pushed me into different circles. I became vice president of the Montgomery County Chamber of Commerce, which was the third largest chamber in the country at that time.
Wow.
So I had a lot of businesses sitting at my table, and I started learning. I didn't even know what a chamber of commerce was really until so he brought me into these different circles. And then I met Herman Wilson, who founded the Friends Committee on National Legislation, who took me by the hand and led me around the Congress so that I learned even the underground of the Congress. He would say to me, you see these grooves in the floor in the Senate? I made those grooves walking up and down. He died in his 90s. So I met a lot of incredible people through him. Von Braun introduced me to then Timothy Leary, who was one of his closest friends, and they talked a lot about alternative
wow.
consciousness, opening up the mind and the brain. And he introduced me to Gordon Cooper, who took me to a restaurant at the top of a Holiday Inn that was going around in circles when you ate. And we stayed, and they kept the restaurant open for him as he briefed me on even this issue, which I put in the back of my mind in a little note somewhere. Gordon Cooper was sobbing when he told me his stories. So I started getting little pieces of this mm-hmm. whole issue. And Von Braun would talk to me between the lines, and he would say things to me like, I have so much that I want you to know, and you have to listen very closely to what I'm saying. And then he would talk about things like how a car could ride on a beam. Now, this is before I ever heard of things like biofeedback or energy moving things, anything like that, and how there could be like a thin skin in the car that you could think for it to run. It would become almost organic with your body. And he would say things like that that I believe have something to do with these craft, with having now been visited and the hints that I've been given and the direct messages to give from the extraterrestrial beings that have now walked through a wall and had a meeting with me with another man in the room. Things are starting to come together for me. And Von Braun was a visionary of the greatest. Everyone who knew him knew that. And that's why it's so sad when you hear people keep continually putting him down, because if they would listen mm-hmm. to his vision and his messages, he started the space program.
Right. It's so interesting to think of him, you know, someone at his level, you know, essentially starting up modern rocketry, the whole space program for us, being friends with Timothy Leary. I mean, that's amazing. And, yeah, the implications are incredible because of the, like you talked about, these things of bringing technology and consciousness together.
Yes. In fact, you know, the people who started Apple Computer often it attributes Apple computer the existence of home computers to Timothy Leary. And in Timothy's house, I took care of him I was the all-night shift the last 6 months of his life.
Oh, right.
Can you imagine? So I was there reading letters to him all night long. He didn't want to go to sleep because he thought he might die in his sleep. And finally, he consciously decided to what he called deanimate. But he had also experienced that horrible ridicule factor in his life. And here was a guy with several doctorates. He was just brilliant. In fact, I took him in to a physician 2 weeks before he died because I knew I'd be asked what his brain was like. You know, how people say his brain must have been burned out, all those drugs he took. Actually, his brain was normal. And he was just so brilliant. And he knew what the mind was capable of doing because he had done some of these mind-expanding experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And they work. I mean, I learned how to see through a wall, you know,
wow.
And now I see ETs coming through the wall. Now, people will say, oh, well, now she's warped. But it's not true. There is so much that exists. And I guess, you know, I didn't really want to give that talk at your place. And I didn't want to do the disclosure project before that. And I didn't want to take care of Timothy Leary. I've been kind of a resistant person all the way through this
mm-hmm.
because I didn't think people would believe it. And a lot of people don't, and I feel
right.
sorry for them. I feel really sorry for them. But the worst part of that is, and the best part, the worst part is that some people are just going to stay stuck. They have belief systems. They've been carefully taught and dumbed down, including in our educational system. But the best part is, thanks to you guys, I think the consciousness is going to raise very rapidly. You're doing a first-class act. You're weeding and picking really credible, wonderful people to associate with and to present their truths. And those who do believe it, the best part is, seem to be starting to hear each other now.
Mm-hmm.
I know I felt very alone, and I'm sure other people do. And it's been must have been very discouraging for the people who knew about this off-planet culture truth for so many decades. I'm
yeah.
so new to it. Actually, I'm not new to it because in my own experiences that I've had, I just was afraid to tell anybody. I didn't know who to tell. Plus, with Von Braun, I had a lot of secrets that I had to keep for him
mm-hmm.
Because he knew that someday the truth would be able to come out, whatever that was, and he would say that. But he couldn't do it. He had a family and children. I don't know how many times he told me that. And he said that, I said this in the disclosure project, the last card that would be pulled, and you see it coming, would be that the ETs are going to be identified as the next enemy. And look how these people who have been so dumbed down, have believed in each war. And then later they find out it's all based on lies, but they still send their boys and girls into war in these forums. It's suicidal.
Yeah.
It's stupid, really. I'm sorry to say these words because I know what happened to the people. It happened to me, too. I certainly wasn't educated about any of this. If Stephen Greer and Emily, his wife, hadn't taken me to lunch one day and said, but you have a story, and but I don't want to talk about Wernher von Braun or me. And they said, no, you have to. And that's what I did at the Disclosure Project.
Mm-hmm.
And Paula Harris said, you have to meet with people who will understand what you're saying and they'll appreciate it at this conference. And she said that this is where we're beginning now in a higher level way, a higher frequency, it felt like to me, way of presenting this issue. And this is where Von Braun was. And
mm-hmm.
he also introduced me, by the way, to Bucky Fuller. You asked for part of the story, the Von Braun thing. So I got to play the world game and be in charge of space. And these are people who have, they've evolved their consciousness. They've expanded it. They've used whatever tools they had, whether it was their own intuition and consciousness or education, or whether it was like Timothy with LSD or ketamine or Terrence McKenna with mushrooms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are many tools. Of course, in our society, we legalize drugs that will make you sick, suicidal, go blind, you know, they have all these terrible symptoms. Those are legal. Alcohol is legal. I don't drink. I may have a sip of a glass of wine at best. So alcohol, to me, dulls your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of the guys in the complex drinking a lot, but will they smoke a joint? No. you know, nobody's ever died of a joint.
Yeah.
So these are levels of consciousness that I was just lucky to get exposed to, I guess, along the way. And seeing people at your event come forward with the truth about their experiences with craft, UFO craft, which are to be identified for sure. I don't know what the percentage of them are, but I do know that they're real. I've seen my own real craft.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen a craft.
Well, getting back to one thing that you said about Wernher von Braun also, like you said, a lot of people think that the German scientists who came with Project Paperclip, they're all Nazis and very bad people. And maybe some of them were. I think there's probably some that were some sympathizers of Hitler. But Wernher von Braun and others were not these people.
No, in fact, there's a wonderful book, and this man, I'm so sorry, just died. His name is William Winterstein, Sr. He wrote a book called Secrets of the Space Age. He was a lieutenant colonel, Army, retired. And this fellow courageously tells the story of how he was in charge of the German scientists when they came over. And, of course, he thought they were Nazis and terrible and all that. Then he got to know them. And he realized that they were rocket scientists. And you can say, yeah, they were Nazis. You can go through all that. And maybe you're right. Maybe there are some, pardon me, who were bad guys and like blood and guts like a lot of our military people do. And a lot of they do all over the world. I mean, kids are pulling wings off of lightning bugs, you know. And
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of part of the human warp, I think, to even want to go in, even hold a gun and shoot somebody's limbs off or kill innocent people. I don't get it. Drop a bomb and then say, oops, you know, gee, mm-hmm. I missed. I killed a whole bunch of people. So these men were not into killing. That's for sure. They were very loving. They were like you. And if you had met them, you would have loved them like I did. I met Conrad Dannenberg, Kraft, Eric Beichel, a few of these guys, and they were just marshmallows. I really love them. In fact, when I left Fairchild upon von Braun's death, when they were getting ready to identify the next set of enemies against whom they were going to build space-based weapons, which was all lies. I mean, they didn't even know who these people were yet. That's another whole story in my chapters.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the United Nations because I heard that they work for peace and the environment and all these different issues, the children. My issue with the children, when I started out there, I used to hear that there were a few hundred thousand orphans. Now they're saying there are 500 million orphans on the planet.
Wow.
And 30,000 a day die of disease, of suffering from wars. It's horrible what we're doing to the children and animals and the environment. Well, so I went to the United Nations to see where I might fit in, and I found the International Association of Educators for World Peace. I called them, and I just called them a couple of weeks ago, and the founder is still alive and kicking. And on that board was Conrad Dannenberg, one of the German scientists. They were located in Huntsville. And as of yesterday, I have been reappointed a position there. Now I'm going to be a World Peace Ambassador for the International Association
of Educators for World Peace. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. They're revamping their boards. They're in somewhere between 80 and 100 countries. Very prestigious kind of academia group. And I just feel so honored. Dr. Charles Murchet and I had a long conversation about what we've been doing over these last decades since von Braun's death. And I was their NIAC chancellor for a couple of years before I formed my own institute after going to the second session on the peaceful use of an exploration of outer space. All of this, though, was based on my assignment from von Braun.
Hmm.
It started back then. And anybody that dares to put that man down, or me too, I am from now on no longer all-inclusive after what just happened to my husband and me. We've just had it with these people that will discredit and even harm you for telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just want to know who the people are who can function in a higher frequency, where this man was, who was dying of cancer, who had this amazing life,
right,
came to the United States, started the space program after he had worked on some missile programs that we sucked him up into in this country of the United States, and then set us off into some visions that have consumed my life day and night for the last, I think, 37 years. I turned 67 in a couple of weeks, March 29th. And I, thinking about it just today, how long since 1977, 74 when I met him, 77 when he left me, and everybody, but he left us, how long it's been that I have had this vision and this assignment in me that was from him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can anybody put someone like that down when he has so suffered? He's been through so much, all these fellows did. And in that book that I mentioned, The Secrets of the Space Age, is the story of this military man who's trying to set this record straight about these German scientists,
mm-hmm.
that they were rocket scientists, for heaven's sake. And
right.
people ought to just back off and stop wasting their time going back into this crap and start looking at the vision and supporting it, because that's where we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
We need to actually acknowledge officially these off-planet cultures so that the secrets are not having to be kept by the people back then to right now. We've got to be able to activate the people who can be tapped,
mm-hmm.
who can be reached in their hearts, and who can be reached in their heads and touched spiritually somehow to bring this truth to the world, to the leaders, so that they will do, by the way, what this treaty says. To me, it's
mm-hmm.
the culmination of it, of the whole issue.
Well, how,
and I've been hearing that.
I was curious about how, when Dr. Greer approached you about the Disclosure Project and how he found out about Wernher von Braun and the things he had been saying.
Well, I think you'd have to ask him that. I don't know. I
huh.
was so shocked that, and because he was a physician, I thought, well, he's got credentials, you know, I'll just go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how resistant I was, because I remember saying to him, I just do not want to talk about myself. I have no interest in that in my story. I still don't really, except that my husband is the one that keeps saying to me, listen, not many people have met these people, let alone hung out with them. So you need to tell it if people want to know.
And
so,
he was part of the Disclosure Project, too. He did the introduction for the press conference.
Yes, and unfortunately, this has made him a very depressed person.
Oh, really?
So,
oh, no.
Yes, I can't believe it. I think he'd be an excellent speaker for you because he's a scholar.
Uh-huh.
I met him because I was looking I was looking for an actor to give my speeches for me, because I basically like to stay in a quiet room with nobody around me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really much more of a quiet person. So if I have to force myself to get up to give these talks and to even talk with anybody, I prefer to just be by myself, actually, and with
right.
him.
And
he's
so
wonderful.
People,
but he gave, well, I'll just say one thing real quick,
yeah.
to address what you said. He closed that with, I think, one of the most profound sentences ever, and I know other people have said it, but someone, one of the journalists said to Stephen Greer, if only one of these witnesses of yours is
mm-hmm.
not telling the truth. And John got up and said, no, if only one of them is telling the truth.
Exactly, right. And John Cypher, so people know who he is, whose most popular role might have been, at least for me, it was Hill Street Blues, and he
yes.
was the police chief. And then
mm-hmm.
Another popular one was on Major Dad.
Yes, he was a brigadier general. In
mm-hmm.
fact, we have both become honorary Marines, because I was consulting
really?
To the Marines, yes, while he was doing... he was doing Major Dad, playing a brigadier general.
Mm-hmm.
We were invited to a military ball, and as a gift, Commander Al Gray appointed us, and it was a celebration. People like us were becoming appointed honorary Marines.
So you're a pacifist
and
Marine.
I am the only activist, they told me, the only peace activist
uh-huh.
Marine around. But they are working for peace. It's just a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I'm doing with the space issue is I want to start presenting more and more what the military is doing and can do in outer space of a non-weapons nature, because the military is simply not going to disappear. And most of the people in our armed services are really wonderful people.
Right.
And most of them don't want to go to war. There are quite a few, like you said, who really do. There are some people that are just, I don't know, it's their belief systems, they've been
yeah.
taught, their parents did it, they and then they become heroes, whether they're dead or alive, so that's
the
pretty
Hawks.
Seductive. perspective.
And
yeah.
I kind of feel bad calling them the hawks because I love hawks. They're so pretty. We have them out here, and they're
yes.
a pretty bird, and it's such an ugly disposition to be a hawk.
Well, here's
I think.
What happened to John, in fact. I had addressed an audience twice that I called the 600 greatest hawks in America. It's the Army, uh-huh. Navy, Air Force, and Marines, and they became the Space Command, and I've worked addressed the Space Command, actually. And John had that audience 1 year. And he's such a good speaker that he had a general in the front row in tears.
Wow.
And, in fact, I was going to say that if I met him. I was looking for an actor to use my speeches so I could be quiet. But John, then what happened was, and it's still going on, John, he is a scholar, studies these issues and what everyone's saying and reads voraciously. He's constantly reading. He reads all the books I bring home and then tells me the sentence in it that he thinks I need to hear. He's amazing. But he also sees what I think a lot of people see, that in his mind it's hopeless. It cannot win. Yeah. There are too many people who want to dominate and control the world from space and space from space. They want these weapons in space, and they're building weapons that are yet to be imagined by most people, even mind-controlled psychotronic
yeah.
weapons. It's just horrendous, and John is an expert in all this now.
Well, I can understand it.
It's such a thing.
Overwhelming when you say, you know, these figures, like it used to be 500 children, now it's 5 million, and when, you know, you see these millions of homeless children at struggling throughout the world, and the numbers are mm-hmm. so huge, and you think
it's
one person, what
millions.
Can I do? And it is overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. And when you are a sensitive person, and most people are if they allow themselves to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tend to cover it up and sit in front of the TV. I know I do. You know,
yeah.
the only news I watch is Democracy Now. I watch it on computer, democracynow.org. The only way I can get the truth is through that newscast. I think Rachel Maddow also tells it. Amy is just, Goodman is so serious when
mm-hmm.
and she's on the scene. So, but when you start studying the UFO issue, then you really get overwhelmed, because as you're bringing to the public, there are so many people that know so much about this issue, and they must be really overwhelmed. But when you
mm-hmm.
get into what do you do about it, and that's the kind of activist I've turned out to be because of Von Braun's assignment, and I start to say, okay, what is it that we can do? How much of this disclosure, as my husband keeps saying, we need. You know it's real. This is a real thing. And you know they're not hostile, but there are people that are going to say, oh, no, I'm afraid they're coming to get me, or they used to take my ovaries and put chips in me. But even Barbara Lamb at your event told me that in the last couple of years she has noticed that there's nothing harmful that's happening to people, but they are, some of them, coming from fear when they have experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been told in my own experience, live experience, and not just one, I only mentioned one at your event, that
right.
they're not doing experiments anymore. They just wanted to find out what was going on, why we are the way we are, blah, blah, blah. And now they're wanting to just come and visit, but they're looking. And if we set off a nuclear bomb or continue with the space-based weapon things shooting at them, they're going to inevitably leave. And wouldn't that be a sin for all of us if we don't get to learn who we really are on this planet and find out some solutions to these urgent and potential problems we have from these senior visitors who are so more advanced than we are, obviously, who have shown us
right.
that they can shut down our weapon systems. My God, we don't need these weapon systems. They're obsolete.
Well, from your treaty, I think I hope the timing is really good right now for it, because, you know, talk of extraterrestrial civilizations is all over the news. If it's not, you know, like from our perspective of where we believe there is visitation, it's from the perspective of science and astrobiology looking for bacteria. You know, the scientists just now talking about possibly finding bacteria in a meteorite. So even if you're coming from that perspective, it makes sense to start to think, do we want to surround our planet with weapons when we're, as a society, starting to accept the idea that there are civilizations out there? If you don't think they're here yet, how do you think they're going to feel if they do come here and, you know, we've got this huge, you know, we're surrounded by these terrible weapons?
Well, in fact, I think the weapons from you know, that some of the guys that I work with are Armageddonites, mm-hmm. and these weapons are going to wipe us out, and because they think they're going to survive. And the first time I said that was the first time that I got threatened to not say what I just said. Yeah. It's a religious kind of belief system that's going on. It runs this country and different parts of the world, and it's pathetic because it will wipe us out if these weapons are put into space. So you can just count on us kind of not being here, and we won't have to deal with it at all. And then whatever happens next will occur. And I don't even want to look into that. I don't want to give that any energy. Mm-hmm. But that is a truth. And so, yeah, I think now I love Leslie Kane's approach because she is reaching people who otherwise wouldn't even look at the issue by saying, look, maybe it's real, maybe it isn't, but we know something there. Let's investigate it at least. Isn't
right.
that same? Yes. My approach is because it happened to me and because my husband says I'm a person with no fear. I don't think he's quite right because I do feel sometimes. But I'm going to plow through it, and more and more I'm opening up to the truth. With the reception that I got at your event, I was quite energized. I wanted to make sure I wasn't coming from my ego on it. I just wanted to see what the reaction would be to what I was saying, and it was great. I've heard for years, oh, people aren't ready for this truth. Well, I beg to differ. From the reaction I got, people are really ready for the truth, and I don't mean just the people in your conference. I'm hearing from people all over the world now
great.
That have heard about your conference.
Mm-hmm.
And that people like me are coming forward, then it's not about me or the people. It's about the truth.
Yeah.
So I think people are ready for it. So I really am going to say I have been visited. I have seen a craft. This is just me. I'm not even needing to
right.
quote anybody else. And now we need to figure out what we're going to do on this planet, because even if something disastrous doesn't happen with weapons, we are affecting the planet, we human species. And the United States aggressor nation, sorry, going into all these wars, naming one enemy after another, which is just awful,
mm-hmm.
to keep the military-industrial complex going, and for those who want Armageddon to happen, to keep that on the move too, and the self-vested interests, corporate and all of the above, funded and fed. We, the people, have got to take an action. And that's where this treaty that you mentioned that we presented here comes in. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's exciting because I think there is, we learned from just a lot of the speakers at this conference and what we've seen in the last year, especially with South American countries opening up to UFO investigation, France continuing with their stance that there's something more to this and possibly an extraterrestrial explanation. And your treaty, not just banning weapons in space, but acknowledging extraterrestrial civilizations. I think there are countries ready for that, and it's exciting. I hope that, you know, they're able to demonstrate that by signing the treaty.
I do too. In fact, you know, we just put up a website for the treaty. It's peaceinspace.com. And so I'm referring people to two places now, yours, which openminds.tv website, and because you have the treaty up, and also ours, which in a few days I'll have the bios of the four guys I mentioned who helped draft this treaty, who are just amazing. And this treaty, because it does mention cosmic cultures, and also, by the way, it acknowledges the indigenous nations. Mm-hmm. And so those entities, including the nation states who sign the treaty, they're the signatories, but the cosmic cultures get to become a party to the treaty. And it is really a mind-boggling piece of document. And once again, if anybody goes to ridicule this, I'm going to rip them out of my Rolodex after I educate, or we all educate these people. If they still can't get it, or they're determined to stay in some old conversation, that's okay. But like I said, I'm not no longer all-inclusive. What I want to do is see how much intelligent life there is on this planet. And from your conference, I absolutely know that the people on this in this country, that there are a lot of people that are really smart, but they've been given the wrong information, a bunch of lies, and from these egomaniacs and agents and the self-vested interest people who have a vested interest so strong that they don't want the truth to come out. I believe that the people across this country, America, and certainly across the world, are ready for the truth. And I started researching the internet to see what countries have started to disclose and open up their files. And you're right, it's amazing. I mean, Brazil, France, Australia, Canada, Denmark, Russia, of course. When I was there in 1977, I think it was 78, they started showing me videos of UFOs, but I was so dumb myself then that I didn't pay much attention to it. But Spain, Uruguay, Canada, you know, there are people out there in these countries, Peru, New Zealand, Great Britain, you know, they just come out with, what, their eighth batch of thousands of papers.
Mm-hmm.
The Vatican, Italy. I mean, how can, I think in Ireland I had on my list, China. I'm an official advisor to China. And
wow.
They, when I was there many years ago, they were talking about this as though they were ready to disclose this information that they have. And at that time, I, again, wasn't so interested in it because I was also dumbed down. We just simply have been a dumbed down culture, particularly in the United States, which has the biggest vested interest of all
mm-hmm.
in continuing the largest research and development program in history, which is, although they will never admit it, it is true, to weaponize space, to dominate and control the world from space and space from space, which locks out, by the way, all the benefits that can be derived from satellites that otherwise are used as force multipliers to aim weapons in war games.
That's
so
a great.
Can, pardon me?
That's a great part of the treaty that I,
yeah.
I thought was really interesting and I think eye-opening for people too, is just the benefit of space and what we could be doing in space and learning all the science and the education and everything we could be learning from these satellites as opposed to and from cooperating with other countries on these projects as opposed to the weaponization and the domination.
Alejandro, I want to nominate you president of the United States and the world because that, to me, is the bottom line. It's the punchline. It's the solution vision because what you're saying is instead of building space battle stations and bombers, you know, weapons, mind control beams and technologies, all these technologies that are being aimed for weaponry, instead of that, we could be building. And these are on the drawing board, but they're going to get bumped because there's not enough funding for them because the money that you keep hearing we need to cut the budget. So they, what do they cut out? Health care for the old people, food, home health, home assistance.
PBS.
Yes, PBS. Oh, my God. Instead of, you don't hear them saying, stop these wars. Just stop them. Just
mm-hmm.
stop. And let the world level out and heal here and use this technology, build a space hospital, to learn about all the alternative healing techniques there are, build space schools to learn about how we can be communicating with technology and our own minds
yep.
without the technology, and hotels, labs, farms, industries, build craft not to go around the world and figure out how to drop bombs and,
yeah.
you know, use the spy technology to verify the arms agreements and the reduction and inevitable elimination of weapons and the dangerous polluting technology from this planet that are going to cause really bad Earth problems.
Mm-hmm. Big Bird definitely benefits humankind better than another bomb.
Yes, and we have so much that the craft that are coming in from, imagine, from many other universes. People use the word multiverse. Imagine what they know and they can share with us and how we can live happily and healthily on this planet. To me, what you're doing and what Von Braun's vision was and all of the people there, if we can pick out the seeds of these positive things that we're all knowing and hearing and learning about and present that to the world, we have a shift that can actually take place. And it's happening to me. I see it happening on all levels from people who are meditating and praying and concentrating, focusing all their intention on the healing and changes that we can have take place, to the people who can come out honestly and tell the truth about the ET, UFO, cosmic culture, it's called in the treaty issue. And all of it is summarized in that treaty. I have never seen a document like that, and I've been studying bills and treaties all these years, since 1974 when I first started looking at this kind of thing with Von Braun. And there's never been anything like this. Like you said, acknowledging the existence of cosmic cultures in a treaty, I hope that everybody that can hear this will read this treaty and really study it, because it's a milestone document. And it does have a name on it intentionally, even though there were these five people that worked on it. It's input from all the past treaties that are now dead, the proposed treaties from China, Russia, and other countries. And it incorporates all the best of it and takes it to another level that you've taken it to. And I'm just so grateful to everything that you've done. Thank you so much, Alejandro, for bringing all this forward.
Well, we have a great crew at Open Minds here, and there's a lot of people. We were talking about that earlier, about how hard, and it's wonderful to work with some people who work so hard and just get it done, you know. Don't settle for second best, and don't settle for something not working. Just hitting it hard and doing what you have to do to make it happen. So I'm lucky to work with some great people.
Well, you have attracted people that are definitely, and I met so many of them, who are coming from a higher place, a higher frequency. And I saw how you produced this event, and it's an example. If I had worked, and I'm one of the few people, I guess, that's an activist that's ever been in these military-industrial complex events, these great big expos, and yours is absolutely comparable. The banquet was first class, right up to the very end, from the beginning to the end. People will see what it's like, to the way that we can actually live and be healthy and happy and love each other. It's about a love grid, for lack of a better word. And I feel that, by the way, in the military-industrial meetings. It's just that they have not yet been able to, for one reason or another, accept the truth about this issue. This issue is the shift issue, and presented in a very high-class, high-caliber way so that the people who are running the war machine can relate to it the way you're doing it. And with all the people of the world looking at this treaty and sending copies of it to the leaders of the world until we find just nine. We haven't even finished putting the website up, so this is brand new. You're the first big interview, the first big presentation of it. And so we're not even going to really be letting it loose for a couple of weeks. We're just kind of putting it all together now and answering the emails to see what else people need to hear about. To me, this treaty is one of the most outstanding documents, but it's more than a document. It has the story in it. And it's
right.
been created with an energy around it that is attracting people like you have and your founder has there to produce a new way for all of us to live on this planet, and it's real. And for the people who are depressed, like my husband, who, even though he's depressed because he's exposed to this, will continually help. He'll be there, all of us. So even and me, who's a very resistant person, I really don't want to be doing this. I have a life, and I haven't had a chance to live it for a long time. I didn't get to have children. No, I just have been so dedicated to all this. And so from people like us to the people who you know who have pieces of this truth, it's time for us to let it all hang out, tell the truth, but not only that, get a world agreement with the world leaders. And for those who say the United States won't sign on to it, they're right. This Congress is really warped. And what Howard Kurtz, who founded War Control Planners Inc. years ago, said to me, go for the in-between nations, and inevitably the United States will have to come along. And if they don't, there are ways. You know, the United States has boycotted other countries or put sanctions on. The United States will come along. This is a good country and had a good foundation. But it's been based on a lot of lies that are being disclosed now, and I'm sure people are very confused in that system, in the old complex system.
And it's ran by big money. Paul Hellyer did a great job outlining that at his talk at our Congress.
He sure did. He's also one of my heroes, and he introduced a treaty to ban space-based weapons up in Canada. What was missing from that treaty was this, the cosmic culture issue. So it kind of didn't go anywhere, but now this one will. This is it. The timing is right. Like you said, there's just no other time when this can be done, because if the momentum and inertia takes place as it has on the planet with all these other weapons systems, we're screwed. We won't be able to stop it. it's too big. And the ETs are absolutely not going to interfere. No God is going to interfere. It's up to our human species to get a grip and take control and go to these nation state leaders and say, sign this agreement, because it really only legally takes 9 of them, the way the treaty's written, to ban space weapons. It's then done.
Now, we only have a few minutes, but you did bring up a subject, and I wanted to get back to that, too, is your experiences. When and how did you begin to have your own experiences?
I think that when I was even 9 years old, I felt different. I used to feel like I was getting messages, and they haven't stopped. I told Leslie King one time that if anything ever happened to me, she should tell my story, because there were times when I'd be talking with her where I couldn't take a shower for 3 days because I seemed to get these messages in the shower, the water. I've been told now from ETs, for me, conduct some of these messages because we're electrical forces and 2/3 water and all that. I'll tell you more when I'm ready to disclose the actual other events. I don't want to get into that right now.
No problem.
But the one that I was ready to talk about, because the man who was in the room with me, Dr. Robert Zanger, who's an author, well-known therapist, he was coming to visit me because he had been obsessed with reading books about UFOs. And he came to me thinking that because I testified before the House and Senate, that maybe I was a conservative person on this issue and I must know something. But at that time, I didn't. And it was a couple of years before the Disclosure Project is when that one happened. That was the most profound one, because someone else was in the room with me when extraterrestrial beings walked through the wall, and one walked through the center and had a meeting with us for an hour and a half. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So because I have a witness in that one, and I'm right now trying to present the more credible pieces that nobody can knock down, since I know that I'm already, by some people, they're just trying to discredit everything that I'm saying, just those couple of people, actually, because, in fact, that's about how many there are, too, that have said negative things that I've been exposed to. The fact is, I want to present right now what I know I can prove to people somehow. My credentials are impeccable. This exists, this event where the ETs came in through the wall, that was with this man in the room who's very credible, and we're not making it up. I mean, this is what happened. So that's how I'd like to address this, if it's all right with you, for right now.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, and I think as I go along, as I get, maybe it's more courage, or maybe it's as I develop more on paper that I can actually say, here's the story, which I haven't done, because your event was my first experiment in this. And I did tell the story briefly, by the way, to MUFON Phoenix, who were so supportive before I came to the event. And they were so, so encouraging and so wonderful, all of them, that's kind of what got me to have the support under me to go public. Again, not that it's about me. It's that I prefer to be a quiet person.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I have this responsibility. And so to do it carefully and feel safe, I guess is the word, I know that there are other people like me, just like me, who feel the same way, because I know them, in the complex, who would like to go public, and they do help from behind the scenes, but they haven't yet spoken out. And boy, do I understand.
Yeah, well, it's good that you couldn't go into more, because we are completely out of time, so we wouldn't have had time out for it anyway.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, too.
The peaceinspace.com is the website, and our website, openminds.tv, we have the treaty there for people to download and to read.
Thank you so much, and I really hope people do it, because if there was ever a document that has been presented in a finer place, I don't know about it. This is really it.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show. And it's been wonderful spending time with you in the last few days.
Thank you so much. Much love to all of you at Open Minds.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Well, next week's show, we got to talk about, we're going to have Suzanne Taylor. She did a movie called What on Earth, and it's all about crop circles. So it's a great movie. We're going to talk to her about her visits and her views on crop circles. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll talk more about the news, the latest news going on. So that's in my notes here, reading those. We're all set. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Thanks for listening to Open Minds Radio. And don't forget to visit openminds.tv for more UFO news. We will talk to you next week, people.